This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
And I am your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush today. And I am joined today by my blushing bride. What's your name again? Help me out here.
Oh my gosh, Corey.
I'm old.
Yeah, I know.
I forget things.
Well, you shouldn't forget that.
Who's the guy on the other side of that window?
Well, that's Charlie.
That's Charlie. Okay. Okay, I got Corey, Charlie, and Andy. Okay, I'm up to speed. Mm-hmm. I got it. How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Are you happy to be here?
I am, until just a minute ago.
I know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Corey is joining me for the first hour, folks, as we do movies this hour. Now, the second hour, it's going to be Richard and Jersey Joe calling in, and we are going to do Westerns. I expect you folks to have a lot of good ideas on that. But first, since we're both here, if anyone, you know, if you want to call in for any relational advice...
Might be a good idea.
It might be a good idea. I mean, let's say you have a spouse who's a real loudmouth, won't shut up, inserts himself into every conversation. Just call in and talk to Corey.
That's right.
And Charlie, she can totally relate, because she knows people who have been through that.
It's true. Charlie has some good advice on how to deal with that type of personality, too.
Have you two been talking?
Maybe.
Just a little bit. Okay. But first, are you ready
for
the impossible question?
Okay.
All right. Yesterday's impossible question, first of all, more than 70% of us don't know this about our next door neighbors. More than 70% of us don't know this about our next door neighbors. By the way, if you have any ideas, you go to rushtoreason.com with your answers. You have any idea?
Our next door neighbors. Well, in today's day and age, most people don't know their neighbors at all, so I would think it'd be a lot.
I know. Ever since COVID, stay away.
I know.
You shoot them the moment they come out of their door. You're afraid. The answer is their last names.
Oh, okay.
That's
Yeah, I could see that.
I guess so. I mean, I pretty much just know them by first name.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, our next door neighbors to the left, I don't know their last names now that I think about it. I know everybody else in the cul-de-sac.
Well, we're Republicans. We don't talk to anyone on the left.
Well, that's true.
Okay, just throwing that in there. Are you ready for today's impossible question?
All right, go for it.
Okay, here we go. Today's impossible question, even when it isn't working, about half of us have one of these in our cars. Can you name it?
Half of us have this in our cars?
Even when it isn't working, about half of us have one of these in our cars. A sober driver.
Well,
no, I just thought I'd throw
no,
that in.
No, no, I don't
a gun.
Think so.
You know, I have a lot of road rage.
I wouldn't carry that up. If it didn't work.
Okay. Good point.
A car charger, maybe?
That's not a bad answer. A car charger. What about you, Charlie? Any ideas? I got nothing. I'm going to go with a car charger. Folks, if you have a better idea, we're going to try to come back to this in the second hour and actually get the answer. Remind me, because I will forget that. She's writing it down. That's good. That's good. But... first, I just wanted to let you folks know that in the next segment, we're going to do something that we haven't done in a long time, an actor spotlight. And who are we going to do this on?
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, because we got a Clint Eastwood movie today, folks. What is that movie? Cry Macho.
Okay.
You forgot, didn't you?
I didn't see it, so I've been a little busy this week.
Yeah, folks, we got a lot of movie business to do this first hour, because we're going to do a Clint Eastwood movie. We're going to do a musical, which also came out today, and we are going to do the XR Spotlight. By the way, folks, when we return and we talk about Clint, if you want to call in with any Clint trivia, anything you know about Clint, or just your favorite Clint movies or anything about that, feel free to jump in at any time, 303-477-5600. Or if you want to text in, I'm sure John is somewhere on a beach doing nothing but waiting for your text so he can relay them to me, 307-200-8 2-2-2. And when we come back, we'll be doing that actor spotlight. Ready?
Ready.
All right. But first up, Extreme Auto Repair. Right now, it's so hard for repair shops to find parts. Have you noticed that?
I believe it.
Yes, we both experienced this. Corporate chains don't care enough to run them down. They just wait on suppliers, and they basically tell you, hey, it's the same everywhere, while little shops don't have the manpower. But Extreme, they've got the team and the experience to search for what you need and get it as quickly as possible. So call Extreme at 303-841-1071, or you can find them at klzradio.com.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair doesn't make excuses. Right now, auto repair shops across the country have full lots because nobody can find the parts they need. Delays in the supply chain have led to nationwide shortages, so suppliers have started raising prices. Smaller shops run by one or two guys just don't have the time or resources to spend hours on the phone hunting down parts. Corporate chains don't care enough to even try. The team at Extreme Auto Repair takes every delay personally. They don't believe in sitting back and hoping things will get better, nor will they gouge their customers. Thanks to their buying power, the team at Extreme Auto has more leverage than a one- or two-person shop, along with the manpower to locate parts. They're working harder to protect their customers by maintaining competitive prices and wait times. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/extreme for an exclusive Rush to Reason discount. Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Promises kept.
All right, Flesh and Beck is up next. You got a slam dunk case. You don't need a lawyer, right?
Right.
Wrong. Because you got to look, folks, no matter how good your case is, you need preparation, presentation. Because when you're in front of that judge, you want your guy or gal to be better than theirs. Don't take chances. Call Kevin Flesh. That's F-L-E-S-C-H. He is my lawyer. He can be yours too. So call Flesh and Beck at 303-806-8886 or go to fleshlawfirm.com.
At Flesh and Beck Law, your attorney sets you at ease from the first meeting so you have the space to think clearly. After an injury, you immediately start worrying about how you will afford the healing process. You start thinking about insurance deductibles, physical therapy appointments, vehicle repairs, and how to pay for rent in the meantime. Listening to one calm, qualified voice throughout the process will help you think rationally instead of making decisions based on anxiety. Call Flesh and Beck Law for a free, no-obligation consultation, and you will talk to a lawyer right away, not some legal assistant who just wants to find out how much money your case might be worth. Then, once you and your attorney both decide to move forward with your case, you will continue working with that attorney the whole time. The same person who meets you for a consultation will also sit beside you in court. Eliminate the fear of the unknown. Call Flesh and Beck Law at 303-806-8886.
Hi, this is Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Wanted to let you know about two upcoming events next week at Maggiano's in the Tech Center. I'll be talking about how to achieve a tax-efficient retirement. It's from 11:30 till 1. Again, next week, Tuesday the 28th or Thursday the 30th at Maggiano's. If you'd like to come, contact my office at 303-744-1128 or get in touch through the radio station.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate, joined by Corey Pate, filling in for John Rush today. You're filling in for him. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
I'm just hanging out.
Well, oh dear.
Guess what time it is right now? You know what it is because you hear the music. It is time for our actor spotlight, where we take a look at the life, the real life of a real actor who's really starring in a real movie that we're really going to review today. And who is our next subject?
So we are going to talk about Clint Eastwood today.
Okay, and you're going to lead the way on this because you actually did all the research. Would you say that Clint's a pretty fascinating guy?
He is. There was so much information. It was hard to kind of boil it down and pick just a few things because I know we didn't have a lot of time.
True. But, okay, lead off.
Yeah, one thing is for sure, he may play a troublemaker on the screen, but I think it was born into him from the minute he arrived on this earth.
Really? Okay. Yes. Was he a naughty boy?
Well, he surprised his mother, that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, he was born on May 31st, 1930 to Ruth and Clinton Eastwood.
Okay, so he's 91.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, keep going.
All right, so the nurses nicknamed him Samson because he weighed 11 pounds, 6 ounces.
Oh my gosh.
I just couldn't even imagine.
My gosh.
That's a toddler.
You know, but maybe, you know what this means? He's a coward. He didn't want to come out.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's right. Okay. I always suspected this about Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
No, keep going.
All right. Well, he does have a younger sister named Jean Bernhardt.
Okay.
I don't know how big she was, but there were no nicknames listed for her.
All right.
And I thought this was really interesting. He's a 12th generation American and descended from the Mayflower passenger, William Bradford.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. A 12th generation American.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Keep going.
Okay. So Eastwood's father was a manufacturing executive at Georgia Pacific for most of his working life. And they settled in Piedmont, California, where they lived in an affluent area of town. And they had a swimming pool. They belonged to a country club. And each parent drove their own car.
Ooh. Back in the day. That is pretty cool. By the way, what were their names?
Ruth and Clinton.
Eastwood.
Eastwood.
See, this is what gets me, because a lot of these names that have a really cool name, like Clint Eastwood, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
This was his name.
Yeah.
He's Junior, isn't he?
He is.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, he is. Okay, so getting back to that whole troublemaker theme, he was held back in middle school due to poor academic scores, and his records indicated he also had to attend summer school.
Did he shoot all his teachers?
No, but he was asked to leave Piedmont High School because he wrote an obscene suggestion to a school official on the athletic field school board, and he burned an effigy on the school lawn.
An effigy? Yes. Of what?
Didn't say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And then I guess there were other school infractions that were not disclosed.
Very good. I love it. Keep going.
All right. So anyway, he transferred to Oakland Technical High School and was scheduled to graduate mid-year in January 1949, but it's really not clear if he actually did. In fact, in this research, they interviewed his friends and nobody could confirm that he did actually graduate.
So maybe he didn't.
Possibly.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So continuing with the natural born troublemaker, or maybe not, he was drafted into the United States Army during the Korean War, but he never saw combat.
Oh,
now,
he didn't.
There was some speculation that he may have had some connections with a couple of the higher officials' daughters that kept him stateside as a lifeguard at Fort Ord in Northern California for his entire stint in the military.
He was, let's face it, he wasn't just a good-looking young man. He was the rough, bad boy, good-looking young man.
Yeah.
The girls really liked it.
I think so. All right, so anyhow, moving on, you know, he started to look into acting as a career, and he was cast for a lot of minor roles throughout the 50s. But his real breakthrough came in 1958 when he had the role as Rowdy Yates in Rawhide.
Okay.
In the first show's season.
Sorry, I had to throw that in.
In the show's first season, he earned $750 an episode. And by the time of its cancellation, he received $119,000 an episode as severance pay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge money at that time.
Yeah, talk about a golden parachute.
By the way, do you get angry when we're at the store and I want you to move it along and I go, yeah?
There's a reason I shop alone.
A lot of people get very, you know, especially the women, seem to get very upset mm-hmm. when I do that in the aisles.
Yeah, and then I have to explain it to the cops, and it just takes so long to take you in public. It's terrible.
It does. Continue.
All right. So after achieving success in the Western TV series of Rawhide, he rose to international fame with his role as the man with no name during the mid-1960s. And, of course, as his anti-hero cop.
You know, by the way, I've actually never seen that.
I haven't.
Which is stunning because it is very well known.
Okay. See, and I really haven't followed Clint Eastwood. I don't watch his movies that much. So this was really an interesting exercise. But anyhow, he, of course, became even more popular during his role as the Dirty Harry in the 1970s and 80s.
Those were great.
Yeah.
I love the Dirty Harry films. And they always had so many really good clips from them. Hey, Charlie, do we have any kind of comments or things from Clint yet? We don't? All right. No problem. I thought we might, but we don't.
Okay.
That's okay. Keep going. Right. Honey, maybe you could, like, voice over some
I don't think
some
so.
Nice, hard-sounding No, keep going.
Okay, I didn't practice for that, so not going to happen. All right, here's another fun fact. When Sean Connery announced he was not going to play James Bond again, Eastwood was offered the role.
Eastwood was offered the role as James Bond? You got to be kidding me.
Nope, and he turned it down.
So Roger Moore was their second choice after Clint Eastwood.
Right.
Why did he turn it down?
Because he felt it needed to be played by a British actor.
Well, it kind of does.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine Clint Eastwood trying to do a British accent?
No, I really can't.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. And folks, please don't get angry at me for this, but the British accent just sounds a little bit wussy compared to Clint. I'm just saying compared to Clint. Now.
Daniel Craig, wussy.
All right, go ahead. You're right.
Please.
My bad.
Golly, can't take you anywhere.
I know.
All right. So going back to his personal life, he met his first wife, Maggie Johnson, on a blind date in the spring of 1953.
Okay.
However, he was not faithful. He had multiple affairs and children.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he later moved in with a married actress, Sandra Locke. He finally divorced Maggie 9 years later.
No, we got to correct something, and I got to do this for John Rush. A married woman. You can't call her an actress.
Okay, sorry.
John Rush refuses to call Sandra Locke an actress.
Fine, okay.
It's his show, hon. I'm sorry. The rules are as they are.
It was on the internet. If it's on the internet, it must be true.
Very true. Keep going.
Anyhow. But anyway, his whole entire personal relationship was very tumultuous here, there, and everywhere. And he actually refuses to disclose his exact number of offspring.
He doesn't disclose how many offspring?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyhow.
All right.
And then, of course, we all know he was a Republican.
Yes.
He's now a Libertarian.
Okay.
And what many people probably don't know is that he was the mayor of Carmel-by-the-Sea, California, in 1986.
I did know that.
Okay. He's also been nominated for 41 Academy Awards, winning 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, were those all acting or some producing or, directing?
You know, it's a mixture. It doesn't say on the chart that I found, but like Unforgiven from 1992 had 9 nominations and 4 wins.
Wow.
Right? And then Million Dollar Baby in 2004 had 7 nominations and 4 wins.
He had so many. By the way, Mystic River. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see Mystic River?
No.
I did. It was terrific. And here's the thing. Some of the earlier stuff that comes from Clint Eastwood had a better pace.
Okay.
I'll just say it. Some of his earlier stuff kind of moved along a little better. It's all leisurely, his directing style, because it's kind of the same style as those old Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of, you know, just roll along, and they roll along until you finally have the big ending. But he was much quicker then, and he became a lot of the more recent movies slowed down until he did American Sniper.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that one had 6 nominations, 1 win.
Wow.
Yeah. If you want to learn more about Clint Eastwood, there is so much information, and he has led a very full and successful life.
Here's what I don't understand. A guy, this incredible director, and by the way, I thought Unforgiven was terrific, but that got 9 nominations, Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Gran Torino, which I think may be his best movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's certainly up there with any other. 0 Academy Award nominations. It got 1 for Golden Globes, but none.
That is surprising because I watched that one and I thought it was very well acted, directed.
Oh, yeah.
Had a fantastic ending.
Oh, it totally moved. It totally moved. John loves that one. I love that one. And it got absolutely none. I'm looking at some of these. I don't even know about J. Edgar. I didn't know that he directed. I have no idea about that one. Richard Jewell, that was kind of slow. Sully, did that star Tom Hanks?
I didn't see that one.
Okay. So basically, he has led a very colorful life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we know anything about his politics beyond the fact that he's a libertarian? Now, I know that. Who did he want? Was it the mayor of New York or something like that?
Oh, I don't remember. I know that he supported Romney.
Yes.
But that there really wasn't that much on his bio regarding his political, his political beliefs. So I don't know.
For the most part, Clint keeps politics out of it. And by the way, I like that about Clint.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish a lot more of Hollywood would do it. And when he kind of jumped in on the Romney thing, it was awkward.
Right.
But it was also interesting. It was different when he did. With Romney, is that where he did the empty chair?
I think that was. Wasn't that in 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you have it.
Okay. So there.
Clint Eastwood, one of the great. I think if you look at icons, Clint Eastwood probably has to be in the top 5.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Who would you put up there with Clint Eastwood as absolute Hollywood icons?
Oh gosh.
Well, not just actors who have been in a million things like Harrison Ford. I'm talking icons.
Well, John Wayne.
John Wayne.
I wasn't ready for that question. I have to think about
it. I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know who to put up in that level because, oh my gosh, he's just so huge and he's so good at what he does. By the way, I just love a lot of his movies. I like some of the old, more spaghetti westerns because they were silly. And by the way, why did they call them spaghetti westerns?
They were directed by Italians.
Yes. Were they made in Italy?
I'm not sure. I think so.
Okay. I wonder if they did them there because they were like, Charlie, do we know, were they cutting costs or what were they doing? No idea. They just were doing a lot of Italian actors. Okay. Well, there we go. Clint Eastwood, folks. Huge. I love him. Okay. When we come back, we're going to look at a Clint Eastwood movie. It's Cry Macho. And I saw this a couple nights ago. I'm looking forward to reviewing that for you. But first, Franktown Firearms. Hey, if you've been putting off buying a gun, it's always too busy. Right?
Always.
By the way, we've been going through this. It's so hard to get out to the range, isn't it?
It is. We just need to put it on the calendar and go.
Yeah. And folks, you probably should do that because right now we have leaders wanting to take that from you. So it's time. No more delay. Go to Franktown Firearms, get $50 off your initiation fee, and better yet, get treated like the free American you were born to be. Go to klzradio.com or call Franktown at 720-770-7777.
Experience why more law enforcement agencies are coming to Franktown Firearms. The team at Franktown Firearms offers a curated shooting experience tailored to everyone. Local police departments already choose Franktown Firearms for their training sessions on the range because in a real-life situation, your target won't be standing still. Tactical training at Franktown Firearms gives you the chance to advance beyond static shooting. Discover how much your accuracy level changes when you're walking down range toward a moving target. Participate in tactical fun nights where you'll run through different scenarios using pop-up targets. Compete against yourself to improve your reaction times. Sign up now for tactical training at Franktown Firearms. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for an exclusive KLZ discount. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Golden Eagle Financial. You know, a lot of us find purpose in our jobs, but what about finding purpose in your retirement? Well, that's a lot easier to do with Al Smith from Golden Eagle. He helps you plan how you save your money and then use it to its fullest potential. Call Al at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
Other financial advisors may help your money grow, but they do not plan ahead to minimize taxes in retirement. Al Smith goes beyond mere asset management to help you create a written retirement plan that will withstand a stress test. You can't predict the future, but you suspect taxes may go up by the time you retire. You want to know how to protect your nest egg from increased taxes so your money will last. Imagine a document you can hold in your hands that contains contingency plans for unexpected healthcare events, runaway inflation, stock market fluctuations, and higher taxes. Your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial will provide a clearer view of what your retirement will look like tax-wise. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/money. Planning with purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. You know, Corey, there's something about a place where the employees are happy.
Oh, yeah. They'll work much more. They're more reliable.
Exactly. I mean, when you turn over your car or turn over a part of your home to employees who love their job, you feel a lot better, don't you?
Oh, I feel much more comfortable.
Exactly. If they love working there, if they appreciate their bosses, they're going to do a great job for you. Well, at Absolute, the technicians love what they do, and they bring that attitude to your home, providing honest, fair, and high-quality work every time. So call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air at 720-526-0231, or you can find them at klzradio.com.
Happy customers lead to a successful business. From the beginning, Absolute Electrical Heating and Air has had one defining goal: happy customers. Owner and founder of Absolute, Lewis, had been known to personally drive to a job site to solve a customer's electrical issue. As a master electrician himself, Lewis wanted to make sure every job was done right. But in order to become the number one home services provider in the Denver metro area, Lewis couldn't keep handling every job himself. He needed a team of technicians he could trust to serve customers with the same level of care that he would provide. Over time, Lewis and his leadership team developed a thorough vetting process unique to the industry to find technicians with both technical aptitude and the customer service skills that set Absolute apart. Now, Lewis knows he'll have happy customers because he trusts all of his technicians to stand by their promise. From call to care, we'll be there. 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
In my mind, I've never crossed the line with anyone.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Beatty with Crawford Media in Denver. Did you know that statistics show that without an accountability partner, you're at risk of being targeted by the dark web? No matter who you are in leadership, you need an accountability partner. I've been ever accountable for a year. Try it for free for 30 days. And if you don't think it makes a difference in who you are and what you do, just opt out. Go to everaccountable.com/KLZ.
The more force and coercion thrust upon us, the more difficult it is to live a principled life. Kim Munson here. Monday, author Alan Thomas shares his thoughts on the challenges we face to adhere to our values when there is pressure to compromise. Leslie Manoukian, founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund, explains what she's doing to rectify health injustice through education, advocacy, and legal challenges to unjust mandates, laws, and policies that undermine our health freedoms and our human rights. Tune in Monday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at kimmunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Back to Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with my blushing bride, Corey Pate.
Hello.
Are you having fun?
Of course.
Okay. And then, by the way, we just got in on the text line a message. Gran Torino was too UNPC for awards from Hollywood. True, true, true.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't seem to understand that, you know, doing something that's real to life can be really good.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, so pro Second Amendment and showed the results of actually supporting it. So,
yeah, how
know,
terrible.
We can't do that.
What a horrible thing, actually being able to defend yourself.
I know.
You can't have that.
No.
America would unravel.
Well,
I mean, my goodness. Hey, we're going to be doing Cry Macho. I just want to ask you something. When you think about me, do you think more macho or more cry?
Do I have to answer that?
No, you do not. Okay, Clint Eastwood. He is not an actor. He is an institution. And at 91 years of age, he's the star of Cry Macho.
Back when we had winners, I was afraid to lose you to the competition. Five times you won the All-American. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? That was before the accident, before the booze. You know how many people told me to just cut you loose? You gonna say anything?
Howard, I've always thought of you as a small, weak, and gutless man. But you know, there's no reason to be rude.
You owe me, Mike. You gave me your word. And that used to mean something. My son, Rafael, he's in trouble. I want to get him out of Mexico.
You want me to go down there and kidnap him?
Please, just get him back up here.
Just you?
Just me. Hey, Rafa, you can come out now. I'm a friend of the family.
Touch me and I'll kick your ass, old man.
Get in the back.
We go and I tell you, okay?
Look, the only place you're gonna go is the hospital.
You get too angry. It's not good for you. You used to be strong, macho.
I used to be a lot of things, but I'm not now. And I'll tell you something. This macho thing is overrated.
Just people trying to be macho, show that they've got grit. That's about all they end up with.
What a great line, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's about showing that they got grit. That's about all that they end up with.
Right.
You know, that's one thing about Clint Eastwood. He always has these incredible lines strewn throughout his movies. I just love them. Okay. Mike Milo, Clint Eastwood plays Mike Milo. He's an old washed up ex-cowboy. Now, he used to ride bucking broncos and raise horses for a living. Mike was a man's man until he got injured. And by the way, they show these old clips of him, you know, with bucking broncos in black and white. It's really cool. Just so you know, I really enjoyed it. Well, bucking broncos are great for theater, but in reality, the pounding and getting tossed can cause serious injury. This happens to Mike, and his life is never the same. Many years later, after surviving addiction and going broke, Mike is contacted by an old friend who once rescued him. His name is Howard Polk, and he's played by Dwight Yoakam, a longtime actor, terrific guy. And he's calling in a favor. Howard wants Mike to go to Mexico and bring back his son, Rafa. Now, by the way, this is before the border was such a mess, so you could actually kind of leisurely go down there, get somebody, and bring them back. Well, after reluctantly agreeing, Mike gets to Rafa's home, and he realizes two things. First of all, he realizes Rafa is not living in poverty, because that's the first thing you think of, right? Got to go get my son out of some little Mexican town. We've all seen the movies, and you think they're going to be in some shack, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, not here. Big, gorgeous, huge hacienda. Wealthy, very wealthy. Mom is wealthy. But here's the other thing you realize. Mom is crazy.
Oh.
Yes, Howard's ex. She is nuts and very dangerous. Now, it looks like Mike's not going to get Rafa, who, by the way, is 13 now.
Okay.
But Rafa stows away in Mike's car. And here's the problem. Mommy has henchmen.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, there's a real Cruella de Vil kind of thing going on here. And the two of them are now on the run. They're still down in Mexico. They haven't made it to the border. The idea is to get to the border and then hand them off to the dad.
Okay,
so he's just got to get them to the border. But the problem is she's got ties. She's got money. Obviously, she knows the cops. She has henchmen, and they are after him. So they're on the run out in the countryside. Well, predictably, Mike and Rafa don't hit it off at first. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, you could hear that in the
exactly.
Trailer.
Yeah, and the two wind up in a small town. Now, this is interesting. This is where much of the story unfolds, is in this small town. As a woman named Marta, she helps these two lost souls. She runs this little restaurant, and she has her grandkids. They're adorable. They're really adorable. Mm-hmm. And Marta basically helps protect them for a while as they're on the run and keep them from dying, which is really great. But at some point they're going to have to break out there and they're going to have to go north, and he's got to get them to the border. So that's the story of Cry Macho. And by the way, along the way, this kid is learning about life from Mike Milo, a guy who's had life beat him up.
Okay.
And there you go. What do you think of the story?
That sounds intriguing.
It is. Okay. Well, what works with this movie? Okay, here we go. There are some sweet moments in the film. Okay, imagine a cute, adorable, big-eyed little girl holding Clint's hand.
Aww.
at the dinner table. I mean, it's cute. Mm-hmm. It is cute. And there's some moments like that that are very cute. There are also several, as you heard in the previews, very good lines.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah. There's one about the fact that he calls his rooster Macho.
Okay. Which yes, you told me about that.
Yes, I can't really say it on air, folks, because it doesn't sound too good. But
it's not very PC.
No, it's not PC. It's very funny, though. There's some funny lines, along with an insightful talk from Clint about being macho and what that leaves you. And it's really interesting because what Clint is doing is basically describing his life and his career.
Mm-hmm.
You described Clint. He was a macho,
rough kid. Right.
Who got in trouble. Let's face it, he was not the best husband early on, at least.
Right.
The first time. You know, this is a guy, he's kind of talking about his life. It's not just talking about Mike's life. It's talking about Clint's life.
Interesting.
Yes. All right. Well, here's what else works in that movie. I am so sad, folks. Don't hate me for this. I know everybody wants this movie to be great. Everybody wants this movie from Clint Eastwood, which has this great trailer that looks so good. Everybody wants this movie to be good. I wanted this movie to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
Oh, geez. See, and that's been my problem with his last couple movies. They're just so slow.
It's tailing off. Okay, here's what doesn't work. First of all, the great trailer is expertly made to create sales. And I've mentioned this before. A lot of times these people who make these trailers, they do it. They bring in a professional who has nothing to do with the movie, and they look at the movie and they cut it up and they put together all the best pieces so they can sell this film and get you in the door. That's the idea.
Sure.
Well, nearly all the good stuff is in the trailer.
Oh, geez.
The best lines, the good stuff. I'm sorry, folks, if you've seen the trailer, wow. Even for this genre, here's the second thing. The pace is unbearably slow. I've watched paintings move faster than this movie. And I mean seriously slow. Seriously slow. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Let's take a break here. Warren is on the line. Warren, how you doing today, sir? Warren?
What?
Hey, there he is. How you doing, Warren?
What are you doing, Mr. Muppet?
Mr. Muppet. I wonder if there was ever a Clint Eastwood Muppet. I would watch it. No. How you doing this week, sir?
No, we're fine.
Fine. Are you a Clint Eastwood fan?
Well, yeah, when he was younger.
When he was younger. Yeah, me too. Do you have any favorite movies of his? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Have you seen the clips off of Venom?
I have. Have you seen the latest previews for, what is it, Venom Let There Be Carnage? Did you see them?
No.
Oh, they look cool.
That's what I rely on you.
Well, that's what I'm here for. Let me report this to you, Warren. Let There Be Carnage looks cool. I mean, it looks action-packed. It looks fun. I'm actually looking forward to this a lot.
Darn.
I just want to make
you
feel
good. That's what I wanted to know.
I just want to make you feel good. I know you're pretty psyched about that one, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm psyched.
Quick question.
That's the only one I want to see.
All right, quick question, Warren. You going to go to the theater or are you going to see it at home?
You know, it's questionable. It's not as bad in Wyoming as it is in Colorado.
True. Let me tell you, word of advice, see it in the theater. That one's going to be big. I mean, it's going to be one of those things you're going to want on the big screen.
You're probably correct. And hello to your wife. Good for her.
Hi, Warren.
I don't know why you ever tied up with that guy.
Well, it seemed like a good idea about 18 years ago.
Right now, I have her here in a sealed room.
And frankly, it's so much paperwork to get out of it. It's, might as well just stick it out.
Well, nevertheless, you guys just have a good weekend.
Warren, you too. Thank you so much for calling in, sir.
Yeah.
Take care. That's awesome. By the way, I am really looking forward to Let There Be Carnage. Have you seen the previews?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it looks like fun. Just tons of action. But I better get back to the movie. I'm sorry.
Okay,
my bad.
You're fine.
I just, if I see Warren, I got to talk to Warren. I look forward to that.
Obviously.
All right. Here are some other things that don't work in this film, folks. And I'm just being honest here. For the first third, the chemistry between Mike and Rafo is almost non-existent.
That's too bad.
Yeah. They got a young guy named Eduardo Minette, and his acting, at least early on, is flat out bad.
Ooh.
You know how a lot of times with these movies, you get this great actor and they have a kid in there and they're discovering a new kid. You remember The Sixth Sense with Haley Joel Osment?
Oh, well, yeah. But...
Right. And you discover some great young actor. Not this time.
Okay.
I think I saw a kid playing a carrot in a school play who was better.
Oh, that's cute, though.
Yeah, I know it's cute, but, that doesn't work on the big screen.
Okay.
Here's the big question I was asking myself midway through. What if Clint weren't in this film?
Mm-hmm.
Would anyone like it?
Probably not.
No. No. And, even some of the laughter that you hear, that you're expecting to hear when you watch the previews, you see these funny lines.
Mm-hmm.
The lines weren't as well delivered in the movie. Even the cutting up and the pacing of the funny lines was done better in the preview.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
Right. Okay. Next thing. Clint looks barely able to make it to the end of each scene. And Warren is right. Down the stretch, Clint's not doing it.
Well, he's 91. I mean, how much longer can you go? And besides which, filming is a lot of effort, time, energy.
Yes. It just, it doesn't work. And he doesn't look like he's able to make it to the end of each scene, much less hit a young man or get romantic with a woman in her 50s. You know, and why does Marta fall for him? I have no idea. She like is interested in him immediately.
Okay.
I mean, he's 40-ish years older than her and she's interested immediately. You have no idea why. There's nothing that's really impressive about him. Here's another thing. The villains, they're barely more impactful than background characters.
Well, that's not very fun either.
No. And the mom who's the, you know, the like the bad guy, she's cartoonish. She's not that good. Moving on, a group of men beat up a bad guy, and then they all look, and these guys are beating up this bad guy, right, in this scene. Mm-hmm. They all look like they've never fought before.
Okay.
It was like watching clumsy kids in a grade school, you know, flail away on the playground. It was awful.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's just poorly done. The ending is completely unfulfilling. It's a long, tedious, slow burn ending with a fizzle. Now, you know, I'm sorry to say all this. I really, really am, because I wanted so badly to like this movie. This travel movie is the opposite of, okay, let's look at a couple. The Green Book.
Okay, sure.
Incredible, right? Tommy Boy. Mm-hmm. Incredible. You know, really funny. Travel movies that really take off and they grip you.
Yeah.
Not this one. If you want to spend 2 hours with Cry Macho, my advice, just watch the trailer over and over and over. By the end of Cry Macho, I cried uncle. And Dan, if you're out there, you would have been crying too. Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm just being honest here, folks. I know you want to see Clint. I know you love Clint. If you decide, hey, I just got to see Clint, then go ahead and see this. But I'm going to warn you right now, this one is not one of his best. I just don't think it's working for him anymore. That is Cry Macho. My review here, real quick here, Rotten Tomatoes gave it 55%. I think that was to honor him. For quality, I'm giving it 1.5 stars. For political, 3 stars. There were no politics. That's good. And for more religious, 4 stars. Because the kid does learn some good things about, hey, being macho isn't everything in life.
Okay.
So there you go. Cry Macho. And we got another movie coming up after the break. But first, Michael Bailey Law. It seems every year we hear of someone passing away without a good will. And then we see family members and others fighting when they should be mourning and comforting one another. Well, make sure that time is their time to remember your time. Call Michael Bailey at 720-730-7274, or you can find him at klzradio.com.
Consider two women. Alice has never given much thought to what would happen in a medical crisis. Jane has an estate plan with Michael Bailey Law. On the same day, both of them are rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery. Alice's family doesn't know what to do, so they start fighting about who will decide. Jane's family turns to her oldest daughter, to whom Jane has already granted power of attorney. Make your choice at klzradio.com/estate.
All right, Novus Auto Glass. Remember, it's not just your windshield that gets chipped. It's your mirrors. It's your headlights. Wherever there's glass, go to Novus to get it fixed. To find Novus Auto Glass, that's NOVUS, go to rushtoreason.com/Novus.
Modern windshields help protect the occupants of your vehicle in the event of a collision, so quality counts. In today's vehicles, your windshield has become a structural component of your car. The glass requires a specific amount of pressure to keep your windshield from literally popping out during impact. Even the quality of the resin that glues your windshield to your frame can make a difference. Since they invented windshield repair in 1972, Novus Auto Glass has continued to perfect their technique. Unlike most of their competitors, Novus can repair cracks up to a foot long without sacrificing the integrity of your windshield. Industry-wide delays in the supply chain have forced manufacturers to limit the quantity of glass they sell to individual shops, so you may need to wait longer for a new windshield. The sooner you contact Novus Auto Glass, the better chance you have at saving money with a repair. Contact a Novus location near you at klzradio.com/glass.
Buy an investment, not a job. Because John Rush has bought and sold his own businesses in the past, he has learned the hard way what happens when you purchase a disorganized company. You end up buying a job. John knows what it's like to work 80 hours a week just to keep a business afloat. He's not a broker, but he can spot the difference between a well-run company and a chaotic one. Hire John Rush to evaluate a business before you buy it. Email John at rushtoreason.com.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with my blushing bride. I get a much better looking co-host than he normally gets here, trust me.
Okay, thank
you. Corey Pate. I am kissing up.
Yes, you are.
I am. Is it working?
A little bit.
You falling for it?
Well, you know, you got off to a rough start today.
Yeah, I kind of did. Okay, folks, this next movie, can a Broadway musical about teen isolation and neuroses become a hit movie? Let's find out with the musical Dear Evan Hansen.
Dear Evan Hansen. Turns out this wasn't an amazing day after all.
On the outside, always looking in, will I ever be more?
Now we can both pretend we are friends.
Would anyone even notice if I just disappeared tomorrow?
Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, that's mine. I can take it, sorry.
Look, I really need that back.
Connor's mother and stepfather here to see you.
Connor wanted you to have this. Dear Evan Hansen.
His last words.
I'm sorry, Connor didn't write this.
No, please.
I mean, you really gonna tell these people the only thing they have left of their son is a letter that you wrote to yourself?
Were you ever actually friends with him?
I never thought that it would go this far.
If you knew just how broken I am.
It's like I never made a sound. Make a sound.
I already know you, and I love you.
All right, there you have it. Dear Evan Hansen. Sounds really cool, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Well, Evan Hansen is a very, very shy, isolated teen. And in high school, where confidence is everything, Evan is nothing. Would you agree to that?
Totally.
Yeah. And that's why he's on meds. He's in counseling. And he also wears a cast because he fell out of a tree. And no one has signed the cast. Well, one thing Evan's counselor wants is for Evan to write letters to himself, right. Which I think is, by the way, kind of a neat practice.
I thought it was really cool the way it was coming together.
Yeah, I really did too. Well, Evan writes one such letter, which sounds really lost. He doesn't know how to approach this girl that he's liked forever. Her name is Zoe, and no one knows he exists. It starts, Dear Evan Hansen, mm-hmm. And he writes it to himself, and at the end it says, me. He just signs it, me, and then he prints it off. Now, unfortunately, there's this violently angry and disturbed guy at school named Connor. Connor has no friends, so they have that in common.
Correct. Right?
And so it's important in this shared moment of loneliness, right? Because Connor has no friends, mm-hmm. Evan has no friends. Connor comes to him and signs Evan's cast.
Right.
Problem is, then Connor takes off with Evan's letter.
Yep.
That he's written to himself. So Evan, of course, panics.
Well, I would too.
Yeah. And by the way, this guy who plays Evan, does he seem like he was born for this role?
He played it perfectly.
Yes, he does. Okay. Well, Connor takes a letter. He runs off and Evan panics. Well, things get worse, folks. Connor, and you know this from the preview, he commits suicide. And he had Evan's letter to Evan as the last thing he had on him when he kills himself.
Right.
It's just terrible. Well, before long, Connor's family and the whole school, they look to Evan to help remember Connor, who Evan never knew. Why? Because they get this letter. They think that Connor wrote it to Evan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they have. And so they're looking to him. It's awkward, isn't it?
It's very awkward. And it's this very introspective letter. And it's very personal. And, you know, the mom is just desperate for anything that gives her hope about her son's mess.
And why is she desperate? She is in
denial.
Yeah. The mom is in denial. She's not facing up to this. And so Kevin is brought in with the family, and they look at him as basically the only one who knew their son.
Right. Evan, you mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Evan they bring in because mm-hmm. he's the only one who knew Connor. At least they think so.
Right.
Well, Evan doesn't want to disappoint Connor's family, so he goes along. But like all lies, this one spins out of control, and a movement is born.
Yes.
Everybody has to remember Connor.
Like the whole entire city has to remember Connor.
And it's all centered around Evan.
Right.
Who didn't know Connor. Well, you got a lot of different characters in this movie. You got the gay friend, of course. You've got the everything girl, who is president of every club and activist for every issue, but is doing it all to define herself.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I thought she was an interesting character.
I really liked her character.
I did too. And of course, you got Zoe, the angry sister, of Connor and also the girl that Evan's always been in love with from afar.
Right.
Okay. So the question is, will Evan have to tell the truth? And what would that do to Connor's family? And that's the story of Dear Evan Hansen. Does that sound pretty accurate?
Yeah, very much so.
All right. What works in this movie? Well, first, Ben Platt is simply spectacular on every level. It is a performance for the ages, and oh my Lord, what a voice.
I know. It's like listening to Josh Groban. It's amazing.
It is. He is Josh Groban level. I mean, just, and it's like he's just doing these vocal gymnastics.
I know.
Whipping around on song after song after song. He's just incredible. John would have been in hell. Moving on. This is the best look I've ever seen at teens being terrified to let their real selves be seen.
Right.
Teens wear masks all the time, by the way. They do, because why? School is a feeding frenzy.
It is. And you are expected to put forth some sort of a persona so that you can fit in.
Right. Or you just hide.
Yeah.
Altogether. You do like Evan and you just hide.
Right.
You're a blank on the map. And I thought that they displayed that incredibly well. Next, it shows how teens cope differently. Some are overachievers.
Right.
Some withdraw.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Next, there was a great song with Evan and Connor singing together. And what this is when Evan is having to concoct this lie, they have a look back at him and Connor supposedly as friends.
Right. Right. It's this whole make-believe relationship.
And it's funny. And their dancing
is
great.
It's hilarious.
It's a terrific, it's a showstopper.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
You get two totally different family structures, which both couldn't reach their son.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Evan's family and Connor's family, and both of them really can't reach their kid.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting because, folks, parents aren't perfect, but that doesn't mean they're to blame all the time. Sometimes you can't reach your kid because there's a lot of factors in his life.
Right.
Yeah. Toward the end, you have a heartbreaking song by Evan's mom, who is played by the great Julianne Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you have excellent acting in this movie by both the adults and Ben Platt.
Right.
All right. That's what works. What doesn't work? Well, I'm going to be honest, folks. First of all, it's too woke at the beginning. Boy,
oh my goodness.
They shoved in every woke thing, didn't they?
It's screaming, preaching. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and once again, you know, sometimes you have a gay character that works. Sometimes it's totally gratuitous, shoved in for no reason.
It was not needed.
The guy doesn't even do anything gay. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
Save,
though, Rainforest or the Earth or the whatever. Everything is woke.
Yep.
For the first, like, 15 minutes.
Even the posters on the walls.
Yes. Woke, 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 woke. And then that's the end of it. It was all shoved in at the beginning just to, like, make Hollywood happy.
Yeah, it's like a checklist that they had to complete.
It was awful. Next thing. The third quarter of this movie, it's rocking until then, right?
It really is. I was sitting there because I did not expect to like this film.
Yeah.
But then once that third quarter started, I was like, oh, what happened?
It dropped off a cliff. You could feel, folks, I'm not kidding. You could feel the oxygen sucked out of the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. No interest. It just died. There was no energy. There was far too much singing and reprising.
Yeah.
They sang everything. This wasn't a musical. This was an opera.
Yeah, it was too much.
Yes. The songs, here's one thing I didn't like. They all sounded the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember Anna and the Apocalypse?
Oh, very different.
Every song's different. Greatest Showman.
Very different.
Very different. This one, the songs basically all sound the same. They sound great.
Very good and lots of talent.
Yeah, but over and over and over. Next, even the song from Evan's mom, which was just heartbreaking, was about twice as long as it should have been. It's just dragging on and you're just like going, wrap it up.
Right.
And could you see the people in the audience? It was affecting them.
Well, everybody was kind of comatose at that point.
They were. Okay, Rotten Tomatoes. And by the way, boy, does this show how this movie has to be for you. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 36%, so not a good score. And yet, the audience score was 93%.
Okay, I can see that.
You got young people like go to this and they write like totally relate to these characters and it works for them. Everybody else hated this movie, folks. I did not like this movie. Okay, and really quick here, quality, I'm going to give it 2 stars. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah.
About right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 4 stars till they just shut down.
Yeah, it just suddenly stalled out. I don't know.
This movie was over 2 hours long, like 2:15. How long do you think it should have been?
No, maybe 1:40.
Yeah, I think so too. Political, 2 stars because of all the wokeness. Finally, moral religious, 4 stars because of a great kind of message about knowing yourself.
I agree.
Okay. Corey Pate. Thank you so much for joining me today. Did you have fun?
I did. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. Okay, guys, in the next hour, I'm going to be joined by Richard Rush, and Jersey Joe is going to come in here too. We're going to be talking Westerns. So if you got any Westerns you like, please text them into John at 307-200-8222 or call us at 303-477-5600. And we're going to get to those. That's it for hour number one. If you missed this hour, it replays at 5. In hour two, we got Westerns. See you then.